It is 1901 UTC, pretty early, right on time. You are listening to News to Me on Tuesday, November 29th, 2022. Sorry, I've been talking about 2023 a lot, and so that year's floating in my head. The condo association / HOA board budget was approved in a meeting just before this. Hey, way to go, HOA. We completed our government-mandated duty. Fees are going to go up 8%. Sorry, guys. The auditor says that we should have hundreds of thousands of dollars in our reserve fund, but we do not yet have that much. So, anyway, sorry. Shout out to everybody in comm, including Flipper88, Tobe, Scafficionado, and Publius, hello, and Jeff, welcome. Comm is always a ton of fun. If you're listening to the show, I try and do the show live because interacting with comm really builds things up and is a lot of fun. And then it leads really nicely into the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe, a show that airs every goddamn day at 1930 UTC. According to Tobe here, we're going to Herrenhaven in 30 minutes. And we got to see if the beavers have managed to flood the place yet. So, and unfortunately, Scafficionado reports that he lived in Omaha for 18 months, but never knew about Herrenhaven. So, bummer. Sorry you missed out. If you are listening, and it's in the future, or you're not or you're listening asynchronously, or maybe you just don't have time to listen to the whole show, you can look at all the news that we're going to talk about at tx0.org/1G4. This is all lowercase. It's tangoxray0.org/1golf4. That's tx0.org/1G4. All right, and if you go there, boom, you'll get to the one tap link, and that will get you to where the news is. In wonderful fashion, there is not a lot of death. There's actually only a little bit of death, mostly maiming today. So let's get into it. We'll start with the biggest international news, really. And it's not even that huge of an international news, but that is that, here we go. NATO head Stoltenberg accuses Russia of using coal as a weapon of war. An uneasy calm hung over Kyiv on Tuesday as residents of the Ukrainian capital did what they could to brace for anticipated missile attacks aimed at taking out more energy infrastructure as winter sets in. NATO allies gathering for a summit on Tuesday said they would help Ukraine fix its power grid damaged by Moscow's shelling, and with the alliance's chief Jens Stoltenberg said was Russia using the cold weather as a weapon of war. They have a live blog that will be updating over at France 24 if you want to follow along live. But the most recent notice was that Medvedev warns NATO over supplying Ukraine with Patriot systems. Former Russian President Dmitry Medvedev warned NATO on Tuesday against providing Ukraine with Patriot missile defense systems and called the alliance a criminal entity. If, as NATO Secretary General Stoltenberg hinted, NATO were to supply the Ukrainian fanatics, this is him talking, fanatics with Patriot systems along with NATO personnel, it would immediately become a legitimate target of our armed forces. It was not clear from his message whether he was referring to the Patriot systems, Ukrainian forces, or NATO personnel. Germany to send Ukraine more than 350 generators. So Germany is going to provide them with 350 generators. I'm pretty sure Russia meant that NATO would become a target, but who knows? It's all a political game at this point. You know, Hey, X1's here. Yeah, let's go with half dead. And you're right, Poulis. Winter is cold. If you just kill everybody's power and take away their food, they'll just die. You don't have to shoot them and waste those expensive bullets that you don't have any more of. How weird. What a weird, sad way that would be to destroy a country. Just encircle it with troops and then just let everyone starve to death. I mean, it would only take, what, like a week or so? Unless you're a monk or something. All right. So that's kind of sad. Speaking of food, Mexico's planning on banning GM corn. And you'll never guess who's mad about that. Could it be all of the agribusiness companies in the U.S. that destroy family farms to make giant commercial farms? Oh, it is! A row between the U.S. and Mexico over a plan by the latter to ban imports of genetically modified corn by 2024 deepened on Monday. U.S. Agricultural Secretary Tom Vilsack warned Mexico's president that the U.S. would be forced to take legal action if no acceptable resolution was found. Mexico argues that genetically modified seeds are a threat to its own ancient native corn varieties. But on Tuesday, Mexico's president said he would seek a deal with the U.S. A ban would have significant impact on U.S.-Mexico trade, Mr. Vilsack had earlier warned. Mexico is the second largest importer of corn in the world after China, and much of the corn it buys comes from the U.S. But this ban could result in Mexico having its U.S. imports of yellow corn, a Mexican minister told news agency Reuters this month. Reducing it by half. I'm hearing a prop plane, but I'm not seeing one. I don't know if you can hear it. Oh, there it is. It is flying low, but it's not quite at, it's at a cruising altitude, it looks like, but it's not high enough that I can't see it. Looks like it's one of those two prop small planes, like a regional plane. There we go. Sorry. Whenever I'm out on the roof, I gotta keep an eye out for airplanes. F-Fog pointing out, I think Russia has bullets. Good point, X1. It's called a siege. It's an ancient technique. Publius pointing out, there's nothing wrong with GM corn, but countries that allow it get blocked from exporting grain to Europe because of the ludicrous laws there. And then in an art exhibit, saw some stems of teosinte grass, non-GMO corn. So we'll see how it goes. In the U.S., GMO is a huge thing where there's all these people that pay for non-GMO and pesticide-free stuff. It was just recently that the FDA approved and said that lab-grown meat was okay. Just in general, people are afraid of change, and it seems like everywhere but Europe and maybe China sometimes, a lot of places, when they have laws that like protect their food sources the way they want to, kind of like how we're calling it ludicrous here, I don't know. I think it's totally within every country's right to be able to do that kind of stuff, and they're blocked and they should be able to. I don't necessarily think it's dumb. It's just a different belief. The thing I do think is dumb is that when big businesses like Monsanto, I hope anyone who ever works for them suffers a horrible slow death. When companies like that exist that totally exploit farmers and do all of that. Anyway, I'm getting off the soapbox. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get there. But got strong beliefs on some of these things. So let's talk about something. Let's talk about some people who survived and persevered 11 days. That's right, 11 days. Spain's Maritime Rescue Service has rescued three stowaways traveling on a ship's rudder in the Canary Islands after the vessel sailed from Nigeria. The men found on the Alethini II oil tanker at the Las Palmas port appeared to have symptoms of dehydration and hypothermia after spending about 11 days clinging to the rubber of the oil tanker. The three were subsequently transferred to hospitals on the island for medical attention, Spain's Salvamento Marítimo said. According to the maritime traffic website, which tracks ships, the Malta-flag vessel left Lagos on November 17th and arrived in Las Palmas on Monday. Though extremely dangerous, it's not the first time stowaways have been found traveling on the rudder of commercial ships. Last year, a 14-year-old Nigerian boy was interviewed by Spain's El País newspaper after surviving 2 weeks on the ship's rudder. He had also departed from Lagos. So, pretty wild, right? Anyway, I thought it was interesting. Publius pointing out the burning food, starved people. Burning corn in ethanol is kind of silly, for sure. Yes, welcome. Atomic rights at SDF, welcome. Thank you for being here, hanging out. And hello. It's about 10 minutes after, so we'll play a song here in a minute, but we got to get through some more news because there's a lot going on. Let's stay in Africa for just a minute, and then let's talk about some more power stuff. Well, actually, let's talk about energy now, but we'll talk about all sorts of energy. First, South Africa is turning to solar to help stop power cuts. Young engineer Nolwazi Zulu says that when she was a teenager, she decided that she would go out and do something about the regular power cuts that bedeviled her community. Now 25 years old, Ms. Zulu is from rural KwaZulu-Natal on the eastern coast of South Africa. We talked about that state in South Africa a bunch during the earlier this year in the summer. Now 25, like the rest of her country, her home province has had to endure frequent blackouts called load shedding since 2008. This is because South Africa's aging state-owned power grid and its mainly coal-fueled power stations struggle to keep up with demand. If they had nuclear, I mean, that would be a good option. To try and help solve the problem and boost its environmental credentials, the South African government is now continuing with efforts to boost the amount of solar power generation in the country. To do this is encouraging firms in the sector to tender for contracts. It currently wants to secure an additional 1,000 megawatts from solar power. That looks like a, just an old Honda. It currently wants to secure an additional 1,000 megawatts from solar power, enough to provide electricity for nearly 1 million homes in the country. In addition to a desire to boost onshore wind power generation by 1,600 megawatts. Currently, only 11% of South Africa's power comes from renewables and mostly wind. Just 0.9% so far comes from solar in a country that gets an average of 8 to 10 hours of sun every day. One firm that's won one of the solar bids is Art Solar, the only South African-owned solar panel manufacturer. The word ART stands for African Renewable Technology. It's at this company that Ms. Zulu works in the design team as she continues to study for a diploma in electrical engineering. So, we'll see how that is going. I'm in a Chinese store and have no idea what I'm doing. What are your favorite Chinese snacks? Eskom has one nuclear power station near Cape Town and has discussed building more for decades, but none yet. Publius is our resident nuclear activist, I guess we could say, proponent of all things powered. Let's see. So let's talk about nuclear since we got Publius on the line. So we'll just jump back here and let's go here. This is in the UK. The United Kingdom government takes 50% stake, confirms backing for Sizewell C. That's C like Charlie. The UK is investing £679 million, or $815 million US, and becomes a 50% partner with EDF, that's Echo Delta Foxtrot, in the Sizewell C nuclear project. The money allows for China General Nuclear exit from the project, including buyout costs, any tax due, and commercial arrangements. I've got a feeling this is going to be related to the giant fear that the West has of anything China makes that's related to technology. The Department for Business, Energy, and Industrial Strategy said that the EDF, owned by the French state, would also provide additional investment to match the UK government's stake, and the government will work with the project company to seek to attract new third-party investment to help finance the project's construction and operation. The total cost of the project was estimated at about 20 billion pounds by its then partners in 2020. The plan is for Sizewell C to feature two EPRs, that's Echo Papa Romeo, producing 3.2 gigawatts of electricity, enough to power the equivalent of around 6 million homes. It would be a replica of the Hinkley Point C plant, another C like Charlie plant, under construction in Somerset. EDF Energy submitted a development consent order, or a planning application, for the plant in May 2020, which was granted in July. EDF Energy has said it is expected to make a final investment decision later this year or in 2023. On Tuesday, while welcoming the UK government's investment, EDF said the final investment decision remains subject to the achievement of certain key stages, in particular, the ability to raise the necessary financing to carry out the project. That's a Jeep with off-road tires driving down a newly paved road. That's why they were so loud. Anyway, EDF added that construction of the plant remained subject to blah, adding that it planned to retain only a minority stake in the final investment, a max of 20%. In January, the UK government provided £100 million in funding to develop the project and also took legislation through Parliament allowing a new way of funding new large infrastructure projects using what's called a regulated asset base. And in this case, itself gave the option to take 20% stake in the project. This should expect to create 10,000 highly skilled jobs and provide reliable, low-carbon power to the equivalent of 6 million homes for over 50 years. So, hey, all right, Tobe's gone off to get ready. That's a good reminder that in about 10 minutes, 12 minutes and a half, I guess, the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe airs. That is a fun, fun show. And let's see what we got here. Hinkley Point C is costing several times what it should, owing to weird UK government policies. Perfect. Thanks a lot. And Electricité de France. Okay. Thanks, Publius. I figured you would know what's going on there. Publius has all the information. I'm for privatizing everything and just, I don't know if we could jump straight to late stage socialism from capitalism, you know, that'd be cool, but I don't think that's going to happen. Hey, yes. And Disco Shrew, welcome. Welcome. Thanks for joining in, tuning in. It's almost time for a song, but we're going to do one more story and then we'll jump in. And that's going to be a nice news to me style story coming to us also from the UK. This is related to a Belfast doctor. Let's go ahead and pull that up for you. Boop. Belfast doctor Michael Watt misdiagnosed. No. Sorry, I'm not logged in on my phone. A review of the clinical records of 44 patients who died under the care of the disgraced former neurologist Michael Watt has found a misdiagnosis rate of 45%. In 2018, more than 2,500 of Watt's neurology patients in Northern Ireland, including children, were recalled for a case review. An independent inquiry launched in 2018 found there were numerous failures that opportunities were missed by the Belfast Health Trust to identify problems with the neurologist's practice, and that earlier intervention by the trust would have made a difference. In October last year, Watt was removed from the medical register after he made a voluntary application, meaning allegations about his work could not be heard in a tribunal of the Medical Practitioners Tribunal Service. Now, a review of 44 deceased cases conducted by the Royal College of Physicians at the request of the regulator has highlighted concerns over clinical decision-making, prescribing, and diagnostics. Reveals a misdiagnosis rate of 45%. In several cases, a review of death certification or referral to a medical examiner or coroner was recommended. Pretty sad. Doctor not doing what he needed to do. And X1 points out, if everybody needs it, do not privatize. Oh, that's interesting. See ya, yes. All right, let's go ahead here. And Michael Watts. Is the name of a producer that I like in the U.S. So let's see if we can't find. I don't think you guys are gonna like it though. It's a big. He's a big. He's a chopped and screwed DJ. So how about this? Let's go to import music library. Let's see. Michael Watts. Search. Nope. Guess we gotta stick to the library here. Excuse me. This is Arrested in Shanghai by Rancid.
But I committed no crime. They said confessions bring lenience, so they put me on the line. So I protest the massacres at the Tiananmen Square. My friends say, yo, stay away, man. You better not go fucking back there. Oh! Watch this. Would not let me write about my opinions about the state and the freedom of expression they would never tolerate, and the military secrets that I never did steal. I didn't start no violence, no, and there was nobody that I killed, no. So I had a clear account of all abuses of power and the memories of homeland now gone sour. And I only got one weapon, it's so plain for me to see. My only weapon I call poetry. And I don't even know why the truth seems like a lie. In my cell there is no sky. When I was arrested in Shanghai, now in the wealth and privilege, I was not born, but a devotion of freedom and liberty I was sworn. So every emotion is studied, watched and controlled. Who gets paid, who gets disciplined, who gets rolled? So transmitter beams my coordinates anywhere on Earth, and as radio wave surveillance satellite burst, open up your skull and let some knowledge come in. Yeah, crack open the cranium and let awareness begin. Oh, and I don't even know why the truth seems like a lie. In my cell there is no sky. When I was arrested in Shanghai, when I was arrested in Shanghai, when I was arrested in Shanghai.
That was Arrested in Shanghai, which is what's happening in Shanghai right now. If you are protesting against government lockdowns. So everybody in China, my thoughts and wishes are with you and all the people of China. I'm not going to rehash that today. I don't think we have the time. I am pro mashed potatoes. Someone mentioned Red Hat Enterprise Linux. My first Linux that I installed was Red Hat before there was such a thing as Red Hat Enterprise Linux. It was good old like Red Hat 3 or 4, one of those. It was an early version of Red Hat, and I remember having fun with that. And then I got bit by the FreeBSD bug. I bought the FreeBSD Unleashed and the complete FreeBSD. I bought the complete FreeBSD, and that had FreeBSD 4 on it, I think is what it was. I think I got one that had 3.4, and then when 4 came out, I bought the 4 book. Back in those days, I lived in a small town, so you had to drive like 30 minutes or an hour away to get to the bookstore that might sell the book that might have the CDs or floppies that you needed. Lots of fun, though. Calm is the one true chat. Tobe knows what's up. Shout out to F Fog and Publius and Tobe and Screwtape and X1, everybody in Calm. Thanks for being here. We've got about 3 minutes to go, so I'll just give you the remaining headlines that we just didn't quite have time to cover. Croatia has been charged after fans taunted a Canadian player. Namibia is posed to have its first female president. In Ethiopia, the Tigray, there has been a truce called, but the federal government has yet to restore power or internet or anything like that. They say they want to restore it all at once. So if you know anybody that's in Ethiopia, that's in Tigray, they're still in bad shape right now. But the federal government says they're working on it. Congress is taking up a bill to avert a rail strike in the U.S. Joe Biden is the president. He claims to be pro-union, but he's also pushing Congress to produce a bill that would make it illegal for the union to operate or strike. So I'm very strongly pro-union. I'm very much, as I mentioned earlier, I don't like capitalism, and fuck those capitalist train companies. They need to be crushed, and it makes me mad that Joe Biden's capitulating to the big money. The Supreme Court is showing its hypocrisy by trying to subvert one of the Native American laws that came out in the 1970s. Just weeks after railing against race-conscious college admissions, that was with affirmative action, the justices are now looking to rule on something about Native sovereignty. Hold on, let me see if I can find it. It's the ICWA, the Indian Child Welfare Act. In the 70s, the United States liked to go into Native American reservations and kidnap kids just off the street and put them in foster homes and try and destroy what's left of the indigenous people's culture and society. But anyway, the people who kidnap the kids and force them into foster homes are suing, trying to say that they should be allowed to kidnap these foster kids because they shouldn't get protection. So anyway, I'm kind of pissed about that. And really, that's kind of the pieces I can talk about. We got to go to the Dubious Goals Committee now. Thank you so much for being here. Big shout out to all the new people in Calm. And bye-bye. Enjoy your day. I'll see you tomorrow. Oh, yeah. And a cop paralyzed a man. No surprise there. Let's see if I can find it before the clock kicks over. 7.